Kasahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Lucky is on the board. What he did, he went fishing. Yeah, you know these people in Kaohsiung, how they fish. Yeah, they throw it in a dam. But he threw his line right from Kaohsiung. He hit it right into Adam's flat there, right on the beachfront. And Adam reckoned, hey, where this thing came from? It's a bait here. It looks like a bomb. You know what bomb they call? They put all the mealy bomb and all that. So Adam is online, people. Adam Kamda, the professori of the ocean, the professori of the Indian Ocean, the man that owns two big yachts. He has a big Ranger, and he has, he has a following over 10 million people throughout the globe. They listen to Adam Kamda. He's on this platform. He's on another platform and another platform. But he's a humble man. Humble, humble indeed. Adam Kamda, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafa. Thanks for that wonderful introduction. Yes, I just love sharing my passion with the ocean, Shafa. That's why there's so many other platforms that call for attention and to share, you know, what's happening on the fishing front. And fishing has so many different facets, Shafa. We're so blessed here on the KZN coast. You've got the ski boat fishermen, the rock and surf anglers, the guys that paddle out on their paddle skis, the jet ski anglers. There's so much of fun to be had here, Shafat, and different ways to interact with nature.
Absolutely. I mean, interacting with nature, it becomes second nature in you. It's, you know, I mean, your life is, alhamdulillah, you have your priorities right. You've got your business, which is a very high form of ibadah, and is going every morning, doing your thing. You've got people working with you. And then, you know, you have your beautiful passion of the ocean, which also is a very spiritual experience for you, because when you're looking at nature all the time and you're looking at the ocean all the time, there's a motion in your head, and maybe you've got a secret way or a hidden zikrullah. When you're looking at the ocean, you may say, Allah, 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 A for Adam, A for Allah. You know, you may be saying things like that. Talk to me about that, you know, the relationship that you have with the ocean and how spiritual it is, besides you being physically. I mean, come here, Lucky. Look at Adam. Come here. Yeah, Adam, just show us your six-pack there. Unreal. Unreal. It's a six-pack. No. Not six-packs of Maimon Akhni or the green one, the yellow one and the red one. No. That's a real six-pack. And only, you know what's there? There's a Barracuda there. There's a John Dory there. And there's a Rock Art. Go for it, Adam. Tell us about that experience of your spirituality and the physicality with your ocean, Adam.
Yes, Shafat. Coming to the lifestyle of fishing, running a tackle store is actually quite a lot of work, and the margins are low, and it's actually really difficult to run that kind of business. But if you have a passion for it, you know, you can make it work. And, you know, with the lifestyle that I lead, the only person that I have to thank for that is my father, Shafad. You know, we grew up watching him work really hard 7 days a week and putting his all into it. And I think, you know, we got a lot of those habits from him. But also, Shafad, you know, working really super hard, he also taught us to strike a balance in life, Shafad. So, you know, you work hard, you play hard as well, as long as you're within your means. And I don't mean to boast, Shafad, but I think within, I'm planning to go fishing. I went fishing yesterday. I'm planning to go fishing again tomorrow. So with tomorrow's session, it would be four deep sea sessions within about 8 days, Shafad. So I'm really, really blessed. And the manner, the way in which we can do this is, you got to get up at 3 a.m. and get to the boat really early, launch while it's dark, get out there, get to the spot before the sun comes up, enjoy a brisk few hours of fishing, head back to shore. And normally we're back at about 9 o'clock and can be back at the shop at about 9:30, 10 o'clock. So you only lose about 2 hours at work in the morning, Shafad, but let me tell you, you know, you start off your day with the day with, you know, with some fishing, and you feel so fulfilled and so blessed, and it's really worth the hard work that's ahead, you know, that you face the rest of the day. It really sets you up to be able to take on absolutely anything. So, you know, my advice to anyone, if you love fishing or if you have any passion, try and incorporate it in your day. Try and incorporate it in your week. Don't only wait for that 1 week of leave that you get a year, or 2 weeks of leave that you plan to go to the coast, or you plan to go to St. Lucia or to Mozambique. Wherever you are in the country, whether it's inland or on the coast, if you love fishing or if you have that kind of passion, you know, to try and incorporate it in your daily routine or your weekly routine and live a balanced life, Shafar, because we don't know when our time is written. We don't know when we're going to leave this world. So, you know, when you go, you want to have that sense that, you know what, you had a life well lived, Shafar.
Well, absolutely. And I like what you say. And you're very fortunate in that, you know, there you're going into the ocean. Unlike if you take your car now and you're going on the freeway, and if a taxi looks at you and says, no, he's cutting my business, this one, he stops you on the road. And they can do whatever they like with you. Or they take your cell phone or say, oh, we are finding you. Give us 2,000 rand, then you can go where you want to. But there you in the ocean, you start off your boat and your yacht, and there you're going in. You got Novi with you. And you and Novi are just smiling and say, hey, Novi, how's the fuel there? He said, no, hey, Adam, is lekker. It's full, man. And then Novi will say, hey, how's the sandwich, Adam? I'm lekker and hungry now. I mean, that's the language you talk, but it's like, you know what? You are free, man. No one to come and bother you. The ocean is your whole road, clear road you have. You're just enjoying the ocean, you're enjoying the motion, and you don't have the stress of someone looking or coming to irritate you. Talk to me about that phenomena, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, talking about traffic, you know, when we head out to sea, we have to navigate all the commercial ship traffic in the harbor and then the harbor entrance. But once you're out there, Shafar, once you leave that harbor channel, you've got the whole wide ocean in front of you. And, you know, I find it quite surprising. The last few trips, I've found so few boats out there. And, you know, it's as if you've got the entire ocean to yourself. As soon as you leave the harbor, usually there's a few bait spots that you find about 10 or 20 boats congregating and fishing. My last few trips, you know, some of the trips, there were no boats at all there. But when we headed out to sea, you know, we'd find the one or two stragglers that are on the usual spots. And that's also another amazing point, Shafar. You know, you've got this wide expanse of sea, but you find certain boats congregating on certain spots. And that's thanks to the GPS, Shafar. You know, we can pinpoint our location. We can return to the good spots, you know, day in and day out. And that solace that you feel out in the ocean, and actually it makes you more aware of all the natural creatures that are out there. And I must point out that I have never seen so many whales in our waters in my entire life. My last few trips I've been out here, you actually feel afraid sometimes when you're heading out to sea and it's still quite dark that, you know, you might bump into one. And sometimes you'd hear them blowing out, you know, through the blowhole, and it really gives you quite a start. Then you slow the boat down and you observe, okay, where are they? Are they to the side of us or ahead of us? So that, you know, especially this last trip that I did yesterday, Shafar, it really gets the adrenaline pumping. And you really have to be careful. You know, you don't want to injure these creatures, nor do you want to have an incident where, you know, they get aggressive towards your boat. I've never experienced that where you see the aggression. It's always been gentle movements. But then the natural behavior is to breach. You know, they look completely out of the water and it splashed on the water to remove the barnacles. So when they are doing that, Shafar, that can pose some sort of danger to boaters, Shafar.
Yeah, I must thank you for sending me a clip there. It was absolutely brilliant, you know. And you captured it, and there you guys were fishing, and you were talking, and there I saw that whale take his tail off and flap it. And, you know, sometimes it sounds like a thunderclap. You say, hey, there's thunder around, but all the time it's a whale that are doing that. And you said they're generally very friendly, and they're not looking for trouble. You know, this type of phenomena of, you know, whale watching, I think they do it more in the Cape Town. People have a special trip for that, or they do all that. But KZN, many, many years ago, was well known. Our Indian Ocean was well known for having, the whales coming in masses. What is it, or what phenomena has brought this resurgence again that we have so many whales coming through, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, Hermanus is very well developed for ocean tourism, where they have whale watching boats that take tourists out. And there's a very defined season, even when you're taking a drive along those fantastic coastal roads along Cape Town, you know, you can even view it from the shore. But to go out on a boat and watch these creatures out, you know, really up close, although, you know, there are certain rules, the boats are not allowed to approach within certain, so many meters of the fish. But just being out there floating around on the, on a boat and having these creatures come up a few hundred meters away and watch that spray come up is really a phenomenal experience. And I think it's much more regular and defined in Hermanus, so, you know, these tourism operators can survive. But here in KZN, it's more of an erratic appearance. Some years you'd see them, you'd see a few of them, and some years you'd, you know, you just can't avoid them. And this is one of those years, Shafaat. We go out not to look for the whales, although it's such a pleasure and a treat to see them come up and frolic on the surface of the ocean. But we cannot avoid them. You know, we're going out, heading to our fishing grounds, and they are all around us. I cannot explain, you know, the feeling that you get to see so many beautiful creatures coming up. And most of them, you can see they are adults with calves, Shafaat. So it's, you know, this probably coincides with their breeding season. And if we had this kind of activity year in and year out, then whale watching would really be a thriving industry in KZN, Shafaat.
Yeah, I remember, like, you know, in the late 60s or, you know, early 60s, Sapingo Beach used to be teeming with these things. You could see a whale every time you looked out in the horizon, say, hey, what's that black thing like that? Oh, so, no, the whales are there, the whales are there. So alhamdulillah, you know, talking about the phenomena of, you know, you, Allah has blessed you with your boats going out, and then you find certain individuals. I mean, this is a tapestry of life. I just want to share it with you. And, you know, out of your goodness, you gave them a ride around, or, you know, a certain group, you gave them a ride. And then you find that they, you know, your good nature is so good, Adam. So, you know, we'd like to bring some of our friends. And yeah, there they are, bring their friends. And you do it one more time. But you notice that this type of people, they keep on asking you, but they don't take into consideration that the cost factor of you taking the boat out, you're paying for the rental of, you know, having your boat housed in that basin there and so forth, and your maintenance on the boat and the type of fuel you're using. How do you, a good man like you, how do you say, you know, enough is enough, Adam? Because, you know what? I think the term they use is mufathia. The mufathia. Talk to me, Adam.
Yes, Shafaat. You know, it's quite a phenomenon. It's quite a known thing. You know, people own boats, and a lot of them count the pennies, and they count the cost to the cent of how much, you know, the mooring fees are, how much the boat installment is, the insurance. And then the biggest cost is the fuel, Shafaat. That's the immediate cost. That's what the visitor sees, you know, filling up the tank and you're going out, you're coming back with empty tanks. But I'd like to say, Shafaat, that, you know, when I go out on my boat, I feel I'm spending the money for myself. You know, it's for my enjoyment. So I bear the full cost. And if I take any friends out, you know, my earnings come from my shop. So I don't look at going out on the boat as any form of trying to cover costs or take any payment from my passengers. And I absolutely love, you know, to share the experience with people. So I will take anyone and everyone, whoever's available, whoever's keen to experience the ocean, Shafaat, you know, just send me a message on WhatsApp and whatever. I'm making every effort to take you out. When I'm going out, if I'm going just for a cruise, I'll take you out for a cruise. If I'm going fishing, if I've got space on the boat, you can, you know, come along. I've been even considering taking some of my photographer friends out, Shafaat, because, you know, this whale activity has to be documented. And I'm sure these guys, you know, with photographic talents will be able to really capture some really special moments. So, inshallah, in the next few weeks, I've got friends like Dave Nisbet, who posts regularly to Facebook. Ash Suleiman from Sapingo Beach is also a really remarkable photographer. There's quite a few excellent photographers on my friends list on Facebook, and I'm really super keen to take them out. And you know what? It lends itself to each other, Shafaat, because coming to Dorado season now, we can do really easy fishing where we head out to sea. Put the boat like just above idle speed, have your lures trawling out behind. It's not really hard fishing. So you can have a chat, you can socialize with each other, you can enjoy some sandwiches as you're cruising along, you can take photographs of whatever's around you. And when the fish strikes, Shafaat, then, you know, you can really settle into the action and fight the fish. And if you have the photographers handy, they can even probably capture some of that action of, you know, fighting the fish and the aerobatics of the dorados and, you know, landing the fish and capturing all the beautiful colors, you know, that the dorados display, you know, when they are actually fighting and when they are just landed, Shepard.
Well, even, you know, you see the advancement of technology, broadcasting. I mean, the equipment got smaller and smaller, the same with the capturing images and so forth. And, you know, today's, hey, I'm a master. I'm like Leonardo da Vinci. I mean, you can't be like da Vinci now because everything's done by your camera. Yeah, that camera will get the aperture right, will get the lighting right. Come on, Adam, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Go for it.
You know, Shepard, the more you try to learn about photography, the more you realize you don't know. The amateur way, the instinctive way to think is that, you know, these cameras are so advanced and have got so much of electronics built in, and they can analyze the scene, they can meter the lights, they can choose the perfect settings. But when you just put it in automatic and click, and then you look at the photo, if you know what other controls you personally have, then you will tend more towards the other modes like aperture priority or shutter priority, or even go full manual mode. Then you have full control of the ISO, the aperture, the shutter speed, and the composition of the picture, Shepard. And you can you can express your creativity and actually create a picture rather than just capture a picture. And talking about being an artist, Shepard, you know, taking a picture now is just the first step. You know, you get a snapshot of a scene, and in the back of your mind, you already know what you want it to look like, and it's not necessarily in camera capture. You've got that image. And when you go home and download it onto your computer, then you've got the whole drama of post-processing where you've got, you can use programs like Lightroom, and there's so much of control you have to change so many different things. And that's where you really become the artist, Shepard, where you've got your canvas, you've got a skeleton of your image, and then you fill it out, you flesh it out with your creative ideas. And there's a lot of controversy of this, Shepard. Some purists say, you know, they want it captured perfectly in camera, and others say, you know what, I want to express my creativity by using all these various controls in post-processing, Shepard.
Absolutely. And, you know, look within yourself and look around you. You'll see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how much importance it is. But I know you are the type of individual that is also, you know, looking at the nature and glorifying the creator. I mean, the things like this, especially fishing spots, certain spots bring you even closer and closer to the creator. Adam, talk to me about that phenomena, you know.
Oh, my God. Really, you have no idea how spiritual a day out at sea can be. You are thinking of your creator not even every minute of the day, but every second of the day. There are so many situations. For example, as you're heading out there in the dark and you experience this whale coming up beside you, straight away, you know, your heart goes into your mouth and says, oh Allah, please save us. Don't let any calamity befall us. Then if the weather changes, you think, oh Allah, please deliver us back to land safely. And you will be amazed at the sense of isolation you feel out at sea when the elements turn against you, because you are far from civilization. You are far from help. You have to fend for yourself as the skipper of the boat in charge of the vessel and your crew. And you connect with your creator to say, please guide me, please guide my hand to bring my crew back to safety. And Shepard, it's not only in times of stress or times of fear that, you know, you think of your creator. When you head out there and you stop, you switch your engines off and you're just floating around, listening to the sounds of the water lapping on your hull. You look out at the horizon, you watch the sun come up. You see all the different types of birds that come around you. You watch the whales come up. You just enjoy the movement of the liveliness of the ocean. And even in those moments, Shepard, you are thinking of a creator all the time, appreciating just the opportunity of being there, appreciating everything that's created around you for you and for you to experience, Shepard. So, you know, and even when you're fishing, Shepard, we always make this dua for each other. Oh Allah, please give my friend the bigger fish. And you get rewarded for your kindness by you getting the bigger fish, Shepard.
You know, Adam, I tell you, I'll share a story with you because, you know, working with Sheikh Ahmed Didat, and I said, go on board the ships and do dawah with the captains. And Bismillah, Mujriha wa Mursaha, Inna Rabbika la Ghafur Rahim. This was a dua that I used to, you know, that I discovered, Surah 11, verse 41. And whenever I went to the ship, whether it was a Christian captain or a Muslim captain, and I asked to ask them, what was the first prayer that the first captain made when he sailed his vessel? And in most cases, you know, they'll look at me stunned, and I'll say, you know, this captain is both, he's in the Bible and he's also in the Quran. The Muslims, I used to tell them Surah 11, verse 41, and I used to read the ayat, may its sailing and its mooring be in the name of Allah. Verily, Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. And you won't believe it. I mean, most of them never knew it. I even asked the Pakistani admiral once when I went on board, and, you know, I had the Quran, English Quran, to give in his hands. And eventually, I said, I told them, no, Lua alayhi salam. Lua alayhi salam was the first captain of a ship. And imagine, when he sailed that ark, he read the dua, Surah 11, verse 41, and may sailing and its mooring be in the name of Allah. Verily, Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. And as I said, the spirituality of even, you know, going on or sailing a ship or boat, it becomes a spiritual event. And it, just by making that dua from the Quran, how powerful that is as a dawah tool, Adam.
Yes, Shafa, that's quite remarkable. If you consider that biblical story of the Noah's Ark, and to think that, you know, there was calamity on land, and this vessel basically carried all the creatures of the earth out to sea, and you know, well, they were actually in land, and it rained so hard that it floated out. But that vessel basically kept everyone safe, and eventually returned back to land to populate the land. It's quite a remarkable story, and quite you know, it just shows how linked seafarers are, and vessels and skippers are to you know, our religion. And the belief in the one creator, Shafa'at. So the other phrase that comes to mind, Shafa'at, you know, when it comes to ships, is that ships are safest in the harbor, but that's not what they are built for. And this is really remarkable, Shafa'at, because, you know, you've got this huge, magnificent vessel that's worth millions and millions and millions. And the best safekeeping is to tie it on the dock, and it's in the harbor, but it's not doing its work. It's not expressing its true glory, and that the only time it can, you know, express its glory is out in the open ocean, Shafa'at, where it's exposed to all the elements. And that's where you come to spirituality, to pray for, you know, a safe journey and safe return, Shafa'at.
Yeah, I know, you said it so beautifully. And then Surah Rahman say, don't you see the ships as tall as banners? And as you said, you know, the analogy is just flowing, Adam. You know, as you said, the dry dock syndrome is, yeah, we are like the a ship. For 11 months of the year, we are moving out, and we, you know, we are facing the different perils of the sea, you know, the stormy seas and the calm seas and so forth. But that 1 month, when we get into the dry docks, that is Ramadan. We get the repairs, ship shape, the engine is done, the rust is taken off, the ship is resprayed and so forth, and then you're allowed to go back. Beautiful analogies coming from you, Adam. The spirituality is just flowing. And this is one of the things that makes you, you know, a unique individual that whom, you know, I resonate powerfully on this platform. And Allah bless you for that, Adam. And perhaps when we look at the season, we just people were talking sardines all the time. Now sardine is forgotten because, you know, as we get into the summer months, what are some of those fish that will be biting, Adam?
Yes, Shafa'at, it's been a very confusing fishing season this year because sardines came up, and you know, we all got all excited thinking it was going to be a phenomenal season. But the sardine shoals were quite small. There were big shoals out at sea, but not much netted by the netters, Shafa'at. So it was a pretty small sardine season we had this year. And then along with the sardines come the sharks, and a lot of game anglers, you know, target sharks from the shore. Catch them, take photos, and release them. And even that didn't really materialize. So we didn't have much of a shark season this winter, Shafa'at. But judging by the activity in the ocean right now as we approach the summer months, it's really, really exciting. And the Dorado have started appearing in places like St. Lucia and down in the south, like places like Ramsgate. So I'm really confident that in the weeks ahead, we're going to start seeing Dorado coming up off Durban. And I'm so excited to catch these fish, Shafa'at, because they give a fantastic bite. And they're also really, really tasty on a braai, or, you know, as a curry, or even fried. So our summer fish, you know, inshallah, summer season will really be a bumper season. And then you also get the summer shark run as well, where the shore anglers, again, target shark. So inshallah, we'll have a good run of sharks and skates, for the anglers to put their talents against and their strengths against man against beast and see, you know, who wins. And very often the anglers lose, Shafat, because you really have to tackle up to be able to land some of these huge sharks that we get off our KZN coast, Shafat.
Yeah, we the sharks here, people, the bulls are there in northern Transvaal and so forth. Well, Gigi Foy, yes, Gigi Foy, Adam is back. Yeah, he was very busy with his boat and all that. Well, what you got for Gigi Foy this morning? She's saying, recipe, Shafat, tell Adam I want recipe. What you got for Gigi Foy, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, I've got a lovely recipe today. It's called garlic and turmeric rice. For this recipe, you can actually use leftover plain white rice, Shafat. So you start with, you finely chop 6 cloves of garlic and a half an onion, 80 grams of broccoli and quarter red bell pepper. Then you heat a nonstick pan to medium heat. Add 2 tablespoons of avocado oil. Cook the garlic and onions for about 7 minutes. Add a pinch of red pepper flakes to this and set this aside. Then to the pan, you add 1 tablespoon of avocado oil to the pan. Saute the broccoli and the red bell peppers for a few minutes. Add a quarter cup corn, 1.5 cups of your cooked basmati rice, 1 teaspoon of turmeric powder, and a generous pinch of salt. Add the cooked garlic and onions. Mix it and cook for a further 2 to 3 minutes. And when you plate it, sprinkle over some more crushed red pepper flakes, Shafat. And there you have it.
I tell you, I'm going to whack that. How many plates I can whack there, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, this is very similar to our atni with the turmeric and making the rice nice and yellow. But it's quite light because it's a vegetarian dish and it's really, really aromatic and delicious, Shafat. I think you'll be able to polish the whole pot, Shafat.
I just had dal ghost yesterday and with the works, you know, the pickle and with the kachumbar and name it, alhamdulillah. You know, something about dal ghost, Adam, I mean, can I throw some dal on your rice there?
Oh, for sure, Shafat. This is such a versatile dish. You can have it with dal or you can have it as a side dish with fried fish or dried fish. It's like a savory rice side. So you can have it with virtually anything. Oh, and even on its own, Shafat, it's really filling and really flavorful. So even on its own or as a complement to any other dal or fried fish, Shafat.
Now, alhamdulillah, Adam, you really bring it alive. And, you know, the last time you went out at sea, and you remember that... when did our transmission break off? Do you go, I know you pass the breakers. What is the, when we lose tower signal? How many kilometers? Is it 8 kilometers, 9 or 10 kilometers? Give us an estimate.
Yes, but that was a really confusing day. Because normally when I'm out here, just outside the harbor, if we are even like 2 kilometers out to sea, the signal breaks up. But that particular day when you called me, I was already in Abshlaga and I was like about 10 miles away from the harbor entrance. But probably the towers are higher up on the land and could reach us. But so even though I was maybe 5 kilometers out to sea and 10 k's from the Durban harbor, we still had a very, very clear signal and we were able to do the show from the shore. So it's really an unknown. It's like a hit and miss, Shafad. When I'm out at sea, sometimes there's no signal. And sometimes, you know, we get really clear signal. And I think we were just fortunate we could do that entire show that day. And only towards the end, I think the signal started dropping, Shafat.
No, absolutely. And as you said, it's a hit or miss. But you are blessed individual. And we get beautiful information coming through from you. Your parting words before I let you go, Adam.
Yes, Shafat. I'd just love to encourage everyone to come down and support all the charter boats that are based here at Durban Marina and Wilson's Wharf. They rely on your generosity to come and book the boats and enjoy a day's fishing. And even while you're out fishing, you can enjoy all the sights and sounds of our KZN coastline, Shafat. Thanks for a lovely show and salams to you and the listeners.
Jazakallah khair to you too, Adam. And you have a beautiful, lovely day ahead. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Kasahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.